Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be talking to a fellow named Mark Whitworth. Mark graduated from Jessamine County High, went on to be the Associate Commissioner of the Southeastern Conference. Well, he's back now as Vice President of Asbury University. We'll talk to Mark about his life, his family, and their involvement in Wilmore right after this word from one of our fine sponsors at Jess FM 105.9.
It's time for Did You Know? From Nicholasville Tire and Service at 916 South Main. Now here's our host, Jimmy Johnson.
Thank you, Pardo. Hey, did you know that Nicholasville Tire and Service offers local financing and nationwide warranties on parts and labor? Did you know that Nicholasville Tire and Service offers free alignment with a four-tire purchase, lifetime free rotate and balance, and free flat tire repair on tires purchased from them? And did you know that Nicholasville Tire and Service is located at 916 South Main Street? That's right. Put your family first with safety and your mind at ease with Nicholasville Tire and Service, who reminds you to shop local.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you as we continue to learn about people, places, and things of Jessamine County. On today's program, we're going to be bringing things into the present a little more than we usually do. You know, we talk a lot about the past and things like businesses and people, but every once in a while, I like to bring in people who are in our community that have done some significant things. You know, we've had people like Jared Polson, we've had John Michael Montgomery, and stuff like that. Well, today I've got a fellow that I actually have known for, gosh, more years than we probably want to admit. One of my first remembrances of he and his brother is not only going to school, we played baseball together. That's been a long time ago. But anyway, he went on to be very involved with the Southeastern Conference. His name is Mark Whitworth, and he was raised in Wilmore. His dad actually worked in Wilmore, and welcome to the show.
Well, it's great to be here. Thank you, Doug.
Glad to have you back in Jessamine County.
It's really exciting to be back.
Yeah. Well, let's get started with the Whitworth family as a whole. I remember I mentioned us playing baseball. That would have been Babe Ruth when we were 13, 14, 15 years old. And I don't know how much before that was it that the Whitworths came to Jessamine County.
You know, really, that's about the time we made the move from Louisville to Jessamine County. And sports was just a great opportunity for me and my twin brother, Kent, to get connected and plugged in to, friends and school and just the community. And so that really was a great launch point for us. We played every sport you can imagine.
Yeah, I remember the baseball, of course. I know you played football, too. What others did you do?
We played basketball.
Yeah.
And I played golf as well.
You came from Louisville, you said, so maybe that's a good thing to talk about is your mom and dad, what they were doing there and what brought them here.
Mm-hmm. Well, my mom and dad actually met at Asbury.
Oh, really?
And then moved to Louisville,
yeah.
And they were teachers in the public school system mm-hmm. there. And my dad was minister of music at Walnut Street Baptist Church. And when we were in, just after our freshman year in high school, mm-hmm. my dad got an offer to come back and join the faculty. And so we did. And you can imagine that was a little bit of a culture shock for for two teenage boys to move from Louisville to Wilmore.
Right.
But what a great move. And just we're so thankful for it. And my mom actually taught school here in the Jessamine County school system for years. And in fact, I've actually met a number of people on our campus and just mm-hmm. in the community that said, hey, I had your mom as a teacher when I was growing up. So that's been special.
Now, where were they from originally?
My mom is from Minneapolis.
Okay.
And my father grew up in Louisville.
Now, we're going to mention in later in the program Minneapolis, and I think the connection to your twin brother. Isn't that where he's at now?
Correct.
Yeah. But they went to Asbury. Do you know how they found Asbury to start as far as students are concerned?
You know, my mom in Minneapolis was very involved in her church, and her pastor is the one that introduced her to Asbury. Mm-hmm. And my father was even at that time, was an outstanding musician mm-hmm. and had been introduced to Asbury by a number of people that he had played for, preachers and evangelists mm-hmm. and that mm-hmm. kind of thing. So both were very familiar with Asbury.
So they meet at the school.
Correct.
They graduate and go to Louisville to be teachers.
Yes.
At that point in time, I guess, is when they decided it's time to start a family. And along came not one, but two. You and your brother. Who's the oldest?
I'm the oldest.
Yeah, and you don't let him forget that.
By 3 minutes. Well, tell you, Doug, what he says is that I was the prototype, and then they made all the necessary improvements.
In 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And I could hear him say that.
Yes, he loves to say that. But, yeah, we're identical, and we're mirror twins, which means I'm right-handed and he's left-handed, that we are facing each other in the room.
Oh, is that right? I don't know that I've even heard of that.
Yes.
And best I remember, boy, I tell you, I'm pulling back on some memories here. When we played baseball, were you a catcher?
Yes.
And it seems like he pitched and played first base.
That's exactly right. Him being a pitcher made me a catcher.
Yeah.
So that's the position I played all my life.
Yeah. That's I'm just glad. I'm thankful I can even remember that kind of stuff.
I'm impressed.
So you come to Jessamine County High. You're a member of the Wilmore community, and your dad, we'll start with him. He teaches music, right? Is it the college or seminary?
Well, he actually taught at the college, which is now the university.
Right.
And when I left and graduated, a few years later, then he accepted a position on the music faculty at Asbury Seminary. So he's actually been a professor at both institutions.
And I'm trying to remember, and I remember this from my days in the funeral business. It seems like piano?
Yes, piano and organ.
Organ both, and just amazing, could make it talk.
Yeah, he's a world-class musician. He's done lots of arranging and composing. I think he's published over 30 books, several recordings. And the interesting thing about my father is that he has played organ or piano on every continent in the world.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. That is amazing. Now, your mother, when she comes back to Wilmore, does she automatically start teaching?
She did.
Was it Wilmore Elementary?
No, she actually taught at a couple of different schools in here in Nicholasville.
Oh, here in town.
And her focus was really the gifted and talented fourth and fifth grade.
Okay. And did she do that till she retired?
She actually moved into the Lexington, the Fayette County school system.
Okay. So you guys come around, we were saying, what, 12, 13, somewhere in that area, and you're in this small town. Although a town that your parents knew very well. But you are introduced to, and you go to Jessamine County High. Now, you play sports, and I am assuming that love of sports eventually led you down your career path. But before we get to that, let's talk about Ken a little bit. Tell us what he did after high school. Where did he go to school?
Well, Kent went to Asbury as well, and we played baseball at Asbury together, and actually played on the first baseball team in the history of the university. So that was special.
Did you play for Cecil Zweifel?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, the great Cecil Zweifel.
Exactly.
I will say. You graduated from there. Now, you ended up in the sports venue. Has he always been a history buff?
He has. He actually left Asbury, graduated, and went to Middle Tennessee State University and got a master's in historic preservation. That's one of the top schools in this region for that type of program.
Yeah.
It was interesting because I went from Asbury to the University of Tennessee as a graduate assistant in their athletic department and got a master's degree and worked full-time there for 4 years in Knoxville. So we migrated south from Kentucky down to Tennessee for our graduate work.
Was he always interested in that kind of thing?
He really was. Yeah, my father really instilled a love of history in us. And in fact, I can remember as a young boy going to Frankfurt to the Military History Museum there and spending hours, you know, just fascinated by all the artifacts. And so it was really special for us and for Kent to come back and later in life be the director, executive director of that museum and others here in the state of Kentucky.
Exactly. And in fact, I guess his occupation prior to his last move was he the director of the Kentucky Historical Society?
Correct.
Which is a big deal.
Yes.
I mean, that's a huge thing. Now, where is he? Because, and we're going to talk about this, folks, even though they're twins, sometimes things overlap. You come back to Kentucky and he's gone. I mean, where did he go from there?
He just accepted July 1st an appointment as the CEO and executive director of the Minnesota Historical Society, which I have learned is the largest organization of its type in the country.
Really?
Just to give you some perspective, he had a staff of probably 60 or 70 in Frankfurt and a budget of $8 or $9 million. In Minneapolis, he has a staff of over 400 and a budget that's nearly $70 million. So the scope of what he's doing now is just on a larger scale. But I will tell you, he loved his work at the Kentucky Historical Society. It meant something very special. It was very deep to him to be able to serve his state and community in that way. Mm-hmm. But I'm thrilled for him because it is a wonderful opportunity, and he is really at the forefront of his industry now.
Mm-hmm. And he's back where your mother was born and raised.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Yes. We spent time in Minneapolis in the summers, particularly in holidays, through the years.
Yeah.
And so Minneapolis is a city and a community that we're very familiar with. And I think it was really helpful to Kent when he got in the interview that he could articulate things that were unique to the community and to the area, mm-hmm. and that he had deep roots there as well.
Right.
But it's going to be cold up there.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's funny, and you may remember, I don't know, were either of you all in the bands?
We actually sang in the choir.
In the choir.
At the high school.
You remember Alan Jacobus,
yes,
I'm sure.
Yes.
Of course, his sons also went to Asbury. But he just posted on Facebook a couple of weeks ago, well, it started. He lives right, I guess, I don't know if it's Minnesota or which state, Michigan maybe. But it's as far north, I think, as you can go, and they've already had 6 to 10 inches of snow. So when you said that, yeah, it's a whole different ball game up there. People down here in Kentucky are like, oh my gosh, we have snow in November, and that's nothing compared to what Ken is going to probably see now.
Yes, he actually texted me the other day. He bought a snowblower. He said, I never thought I'd buy my own snowblower.
Now, married and kids, him, Kent?
Yes, Ken is married to a girl he met at Asbury, mm-hmm. and they have a son and a daughter. And son just got married and graduated from Taylor University. He's working on a master's degree at Duke University.
Yeah.
And his daughter is a senior at Asbury.
Well, it would be amazing to know how many couples in this world today have been brought together because of Asbury. I mean, your parents, him, everybody. I mean, there's a lot of people that have met because of that. Now, let's get back to you. You were always involved in the sports. And I would assume that that is what kept you involved in what you later went on to do. You graduate from Asbury. You go to Tennessee, right?
Correct.
From there, where take us down the road.
I went to Tennessee because I wanted to pursue a career in athletic administration, and I was fortunate enough to get two offers mm-hmm. when I was a senior at Asbury, one at Western Kentucky and one at the University of Tennessee, mm-hmm. and both were terrific opportunities, but I selected the University of Tennessee, and that really was the launch point for me to get into major college athletics. And so I spent 4 years there, got a master's degree, and built just great, great relationships, personally and professionally. Mm-hmm. And that led me to the Southeastern Conference. And it was a connection through my time at Tennessee that opened the door at the Southeastern Conference office.
Now, what exactly was your title there at the Southeastern Conference?
Well, I held several, but for about 20 years, I was an associate commissioner.
All right.
I was in the area of communications and media relations. Mm-hmm. Then transitioned into external affairs, which really meant that I was getting more and more involved with our television partners and our sponsorships, our marketing. Mm-hmm. The online presence was just coming on, and we were going from a regional brand to a national brand mm-hmm. with the CBS and ESPN packages that we were a part of. Mm-hmm. And so I was very much in the day-to-day operations of those kinds of relationships. And then the last 3 years on the staff, I served as the associate commissioner for men's basketball, which was probably most interesting to people up here.
Right.
Because their deep, deep love for college basketball and certainly the Wildcats. And so it was really a privilege for me. I'm the first one in the history of the conference to serve in that role. The SEC was the only league that did not have a senior level executive managing day-to-day the operations for men's basketball.
Really?
And so the commissioner, Mike Slive, came to me and said, would you be willing to serve in that role? Because I had been doing some things in the sport, mm-hmm. and I was probably the logical guy on the staff to step into that role.
One of the things that just popped in my mind, when we talk about the SEC, because of the basketball and even football, most people tend to forget that it's not just basketball and football. I mean, you have tennis, you have archery, you have baseball, you have all the sports. So when you say SEC, it was all sports.
Yes.
With all the schools.
Yes.
Now, when you left there, had all the schools gotten into the SEC? And I'm talking about the newest edition.
Yes, they had. It was interesting because I was involved when we brought Arkansas and South Carolina on years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was on a three-person kind of transition team that was very, very involved in Texas A&M and Missouri coming into the mm-hmm. to the conference. So mm-hmm. those were exciting days. And the thing that struck me was just how excited the student athletes, coaches, the administration, and the fans of all those schools were mm-hmm. to become a part of that SEC family, because it really is a family. I mean,
sure.
we compete like mad, but there's great mutual respect. It's been, and I think that's what distinguishes the SEC from a Big 12 or the ACC or the Big 10, is that there is great mutual respect among the leadership of those universities.
When you, and especially the last 3 years, when you were doing the basketball, I guess, kind of exclusively, if you will, you're talking about being a family. Basketball coaches, to me, almost seem kind of like attorneys. In the courtroom, they can be bitter enemies. They're wanting their team to win. But boy, when they go out the door after it's all over, they dine together and are great friends. Is that the way it is?
You know, I found, Doug, the coaching fraternity is an interesting one, because you're right. I mean, they do compete fiercely.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone has a story about someone that helped them get in the profession.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they go along their career path, they'll have people on their staff which will leave and go other places. And what binds people together and connects them is these people that might have worked for one coach that takes a new opportunity, in some cases, at a rival school.
Mm-hmm.
Or a coach may not be at a rival school then, but their next move might take them there.
Right.
And so you have this web that is woven of all these, you know, coaches that have worked at some point together, or at least know someone they're very close to that's worked together. And that's what adds that other dimension to it that the fans don't often see.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the basketball, because people are interested in that. Some of these coaches that you've had the opportunity to see. And I might say it was always really cool during the SEC tournament to flip on the television and see you sitting there at the table, usually right there by the announcer or somewhere in that area. And it's always kind of neat when you can say, I went to school with that guy. I remember him. Any of those coaches that we might not know, I'm excluding the Kentucky coaches, because we all feel like we know them, but in the other schools that might surprise us in their personalities or how they acted. I'm not talking about badly, but just good guys. Any of our rivals, you know, I'll give an example. Now, he's not in the SEC, but people around here and the way they feel about Bobby Knight.
Mm-hmm.
But just a few weeks ago, I interviewed Gary Hollebeck, who worked for Bobby Knight for years, and talked about what a good guy he was and how he acted. And I don't know that sometimes we have the best view of some of these coaches. You probably got a better view.
Yeah, that's an interesting perspective. I mean, as you mentioned, Bobby Knight, I mean, my encounters were within the last 4 or 5 years when he was an analyst. But I found him to be very, very genuine and very approachable and interested in what I was trying to do mm-hmm. and accomplish at the SEC, and appreciated where we were as a league and where we wanted to go. So my interaction with Bobby Knight is vastly different than maybe what you might perceive.
Right.
Another guy is you were talking basketball, but I mentioned a guy like Nick Saban. I mean, Coach Saban was a guy that he's always working, and he's always trying to figure out, how can I learn more and get an advantage? That's one of the things that makes him great. But when you have a chance to spend time with him, you'll find that he's, you know, he's an approachable guy, very competitive and very intense. But I remember having a great visit with him when he gave me and a couple of other people on the staff a ride on the school jet back from ESPN back to Tuscaloosa. And so I got a chance to spend 2.5 hours sitting literally next to him,
mm-hmm.
and we had a great visit. And I thought to myself, all my buddies would say, there's no way that would happen because Coach Saban's too intense and never lets
yeah.
his guard down. And
yeah.
we just had a great visit. So those kinds of things do happen mm-hmm. when you see the more human side of these great competitors.
And you dealt with it, again, more so in the last 3 years with basketball, but over your 20-year career.
Oh, without question.
All the sports, all the great coaches that have been the SEC in all sports, not just basketball.
Yeah, there was actually a time, Doug, in my career that I was the staff liaison to the football coaches and the men's basketball coaches.
Yeah.
And you think about some of the giants in coaching
oh, yeah.
that would have been in that room. I mean, it was really a special opportunity for me, and I'll always be grateful for that.
You know, one of the things, and I can almost bet that you kind of felt the same way at some point. In my early days of radio, of course, if you remember back when we were in high school, I was down the street, a little old in WNVL 500-watt country station, and we played what was truly old country. And I remember the very first time that I ever went to Nashville and stood on the stage of the old Ryman Auditorium, and it went through my mind at that time, I am standing in a place where Hank Williams and George Jones and Johnny Cash and all those people stood, the greats, Dolly Parton, Loretta Lynn, all of them, Patsy Cline. And it was almost a weak-kneed feeling. And I can almost imagine, and again, you may have gotten used to it, but at some point in time, early in your career, walking into some of these rooms, and those people who you have seen on television and heard about, there they are, and you're working with them. It's got to be an overwhelming
Well,
feeling.
It was exciting. I mean, yeah. for someone who really wanted to make a career in sports, I mean, to walk in and meet some of the folks that I have, and even on the broadcast side, mm-hmm. You know, it's something I'll always treasure. And that's what's special for me, even at Asbury, now that I'm back, is that my message to the students and student-athletes that I deal with every day is, you know, I started here, got a degree here, mm-hmm. and God took me to one of the great college athletic arenas, if you will,
right.
that's the SEC, and he can do the same for you.
Yeah. Now, that's a good lead-in to why you're back and how you got back. The circle has come all the way around. What made you decide that it was time to leave the SEC, and how did it bring you back home to Wilmore?
Well, our president, Dr. Sandra Gray, mm-hmm. is someone that I've gotten to know well over the last 10 years or so, because I served on the Board of Trustees. Mm-hmm. And so I would see her, you know, pretty regularly, come up twice a year for meetings. And she approached me and said, I have a vision for athletics. And I thought she was going to ask me to help her find someone.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I'd really like for you to consider this.
That hit you like a brick, I guess.
It did. I was, you know, I kind of chuckled. And I said, I'm really flattered, but I don't, you know, I don't know that that's something that I'm interested or that's even been on my radar.
Yeah.
And she said, well, you know, what would it take as far as what would be an attractive opportunity? And I said, well, I feel like athletics has grown at Asbury. I mean, we've got almost 400 student-athletes, which is, you know, a third of the student body.
Right.
We have 17 sports. You add cheerleading. That's another team that we're really proud of. And I said, I think that would warrant a vice president-type position. And I said, it's important that leader sit on the president's cabinet and have a direct access and direct report to you.
Yeah.
And without hesitation, she said, done.
Oh, my goodness.
And so that really struck me that she had given this some thought and was committed to, you know, a new way of managing and leading athletics at Asbury University. And so over time, you know, I was just praying about that, thinking about it. I talked to my wife. My wife's in Birmingham with me, had built a great real estate business. And so by the world's standards, what we've done is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife has sat down, we both sat down with Dr. Gray, and she cast that vision for both of us. And my wife, Tyann, said, we need to do this.
Yeah.
This is a calling. And so we, after almost 30 years, left a community that we loved in Birmingham, Alabama, and moved back to Nicholasville. Mm-hmm. And now I'm serving at the university as a vice president for intercollegiate athletics. And she is, as she reminds me, starting all over. building a real estate career.
Let's stop the train for a minute and talk about that. Tell us about your wife, and do you have kids? And then brag on them if you do. Talk about your family for just a moment. Because, first off, do you have kids?
Yes.
And so they, are they grown?
Yes.
All right. Do you have any... I guess they didn't go through the culture shock that you and Kent went through.
No. Okay. Well, I'll start with my wife, Tyann. We met at Asbury and started dating our sophomore year. And this side of heaven, she's the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
She is, as my friends say, Whitworth, you really outpunted your coverage. And I did.
That's a
so
good
she's,
way to put it.
She's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I'm so proud of her. And she built a great real estate business, and she's starting over. And she's with REMAX Elite here in the Lexington, Central Kentucky area. But she is all in. She's committed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm so thankful for her love and support. I've got my son is my oldest, Tyler, and he is a graduate of the University of Alabama. And he's a police officer in Mountain Brook, which is a suburb of Birmingham.
Okay.
And loves law enforcement, and he's just perfectly suited for that.
Good.
He's kind of a tender warrior kind of guy, but a wonderful, wonderful man and young man. And he's, again, he's the kind we want in law enforcement, making those split-second decisions.
Good.
Dealing with people. My daughter, Mary Catherine, graduated from Asbury last year with a degree in exercise science. She was a cheerleader there. And she is a first-year student in physical therapy school at the University of Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
So she's thrilled
she's
we're
close.
Here.
Yeah.
And she's actually going to get married in August to a young man she met at Asbury.
There's another one.
Yes.
And I started to ask you if either your children were into athletics like you were. Your daughter evidently was.
Yeah, and my son was a really good high school football player.
Yeah.
His last game in high school was at Auburn University's field in the state championship.
Oh,
so,
wow.
He was a big, strong, tough guy that loved to play football.
Yeah.
And so, both of my kids are athletes and have enjoyed sports and understand the impact and power sports have on someone's life.
You come back to Wilmore after 30 years, even though you've been back to Wilmore, I know, because visiting your family and
coming to
like
a
that.
Lot of Kentucky games.
Sure.
For work.
For your work.
Yes.
But do you find, now that you are back working there, you're a resident once again of Jessamine County, changes? You've seen changes, I know, but maybe you don't notice them like you're noticing them now. What do you think, in your opinion, changes you've seen in your area?
Well, I've always been proud of my home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been special because even in the last month or so, I've had a couple friends come up from Birmingham that I don't think had been, certainly not to Asbury.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just so much fun to share this beautiful place with friends that I care about. Mm-hmm. And they're happy for us, but just we're taken back at the beauty, the rolling hills and the accessibility. We've really got the best of both worlds here, Doug.
Yeah.
And I say that when we recruit student-athletes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have this gorgeous rolling countryside.
Mm-hmm.
And we're 10, 15 minutes from Lexington.
Right.
And so, you know, I lived on I-65 commuting in Birmingham for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And so when my commute now is driving through these beautiful backcountry roads, I mean, it's special for me. And it's just a great reminder each day how nice it is. And I'm so proud of the way this community has had the vision to not just sit idly by, but engage and grow and be relevant.
Mm-hmm. One of the, as far as the looks of the place, I've often said that if you were to take all of the landscapes in Kentucky and put them in a bag and shake them up, throw them out, you'd have Jessamine County.
That's right.
As far as moving on and the growth, you know, Asbury, of course, from its inception was a great school, whether it be the university or at that time the college and the seminary. But my, how it has grown into even more of a major player in education with the satellite campuses, with the sports programs. My gosh, look at the media program
that
they got. The equine program with Harold and Rainwater, and it's amazing the different aspects of life that Asbury is continuing to bring in to our community and the people that are coming here. It's, you said, well, what, a 1,200 student body? Is that what you said?
Yes, that's on campus. And then we have nearly 2,000 when you look at adult professional studies and graduate students and those type of opportunities. So Dr. Gray has done a great job in leading our university. Yeah. And as I tell people that are considering coming as students and certainly their parents, that that we offer a world-class education, and it's something that we're very, very proud of.
And speaking of the world, it is literally the truth that there are people throughout the world who are influencing others by using their influence of this county. It would probably be overwhelming to realize how many people in our world today have some kind of connection to Wilmore, Kentucky, through Asbury.
Yes.
You know, before the program, you and I were looking at our podcast page, and you mentioned a person that I interviewed. And I'm sure that there were people that we had in school, teachers, that have influenced you in your daily life. And now you're influencing other people through them. And that's cool.
It is. And it's a result of me being loved and served well by people in this community, whether we're, you know, teachers, educators. When I worked at Fitch's IGA as a high school student.
Exactly.
And so they modeled that well.
Yeah.
And my hope and prayer is that I can respond the same way and love and encourage and challenge people well. But it's very special to be back in this community, as you mentioned. And not a day goes by that I'll make some connection that reminds me of how special it was when I was here as a high school student, a college student. And now, you know, just the responsibility that we have to be good stewards of what we've been blessed with.
Right. You were in Birmingham, you said, what, 30 years?
Almost 30 years, yes.
So are we going to look forward to having you here for the next 30, do you think?
You know, I mean, as I said, this is a calling for me and for my wife, Tyann. Yeah. And so I don't anticipate any changes. You know, we'll see what God's up to. But I've really enjoyed the work here and the opportunity to pour into students and coaches. And I love to build things. And in some ways, we're building a program that, when I talk about our program, I say that we want to become one of the very best options nationally for that young person,
right,
that student who is open to or is seeking a Christian liberal arts education and a real quality athletic experience at the college level. That's the niche we want to fill with Asbury Athletics.
Now, speaking of that and a connection to our county, one thing that we have already started here on Jess FM is a relationship with Asbury as far as broadcasting some of the basketball games. And I know that later on today we have one. Will Osborne, who does our sports here at the station, very excited about that relationship and the ability to broadcast boys and, I think, men's and women's, both. A few games, and hopefully that will grow into something big. When they mentioned to me, when Will and our owner Jonathan mentioned to me that they were going to talk to Asbury, it was with much pride that I was able to say, I went to school with that guy. I played ball with that guy. And I appreciate the fact that you were from here and realized that community connections mean a lot. So we're very proud to have Asbury now that we can broadcast those games. Hope it becomes a long-time relationship.
Well, we do too, and we certainly appreciate the interest that Jonathan and Will have had in our program, and we think this is a great vehicle to tell our story and again, just engage and be a part of the community.
Right. Well, our time is done, but I appreciate you coming in. I'm glad you're back. It was cool, though, to see you on TV during those ball games, but I'm glad you're back. And I knew when I heard that you were coming back that everything was going to be okay down there. And I wish you'd tell Kent that I am tickled to death for him and his move, although I wish he was still in Kentucky. Glad that he has gotten to that point. That speaks well for his ability. And maybe one day he can retire back here.
There you go. Well, I appreciate the visit and appreciate what you do, Doug, for our community.
Thank you. My thanks to Mark for coming in this morning and sharing some information about he and his family. I appreciate you coming in, too. We'll do it again next Saturday at 11. All things Jessamine. Don't forget, I'm here every weekday morning. Get you up and going from 6 until 8 a.m. on Jessamine County's only radio station, Jess FM 105.9.